we present The Waiting Room by Terry Meakin.
How long do you reckon we'll be here?
Hard to say. Maybe an hour, maybe less. Depends how busy they are next door.
Well, I'm in no hurry. I have to say it's quite nice here. Better than I thought it would be. Sort of. Relaxing like. Especially with a view from the window. Nice to be able to see the sea from here. And hear the children enjoying themselves.
Yeah, I like that too. Sometimes, when they don't think much of you, they just shove you in any old waiting room. No windows, scruffy paint. Like little more than storerooms crammed with rubbish, really. But this is good, at least for them.
Nice of you to turn up anyway. I haven't seen much of you in the past few years. How have things been? Busy?
I've been around. And keeping a watchful eye on you and your antics. I can't be there all the time, you know. Well, you know.
We do now. Found out a bit late in life, but better late than never. We're a couple of old guys now, ain't we? When did we first meet up, anyway?
Your memory's really going. It was on that school trip to Weymouth. You were sitting on that concrete slab fishing, and that prat came along and pushed you in.
Yeah, that was it. Oh, you remember? I was sinking down. Both eyes wide open. Everything was so clear underwater. I knew I couldn't swim, but I didn't panic. Just started to float slowly back up again. Slowly. Till there was no more water. And saw that guy looking at me, crapping himself, when he saw that I couldn't swim.
I know. I was bloody mad. Shouted at him to jump in and pull you out.
He can't swim. If he drowns, it's your fault. Jump in and get him.
Which he did.
Yeah, but only because he was more frightened for himself than for you.
How old were you then? 7, 8 maybe? That's the first time he really teamed up. We've been in a good few scrapes since then, though, Mike. Funny how we kept bumping into each other over the years.
If we don't get across that ground and do something about those bastards streaming lead at us, we might as well kiss our asses goodbye. We've been pinned down in this ditch for 2 hours now. We've lost both Graham and Nino, and Barry's in a bad way as well.
Barry? When was he hit?
He wasn't, but he's lost his bottle, and he's just curled up in a ball behind some reeds, crying to himself. If he hugs the ground any tighter, he'll be in bloody Australia. Have you got any signal on that set yet?
No, it's bollocks. We ain't going to get any help from anyone in a hurry. Jesus, that was close.
Look, take yourself over to our second line ditch behind us and see if there's anyone else there. If there is, bring them back here and we'll try and break out of this death trap altogether. I'll give you covering fire. Keep your head down. Go!
Britt, don't shoot!
I'm not going to waste a bullet on you, mate. What's the bloody rush?
Christ! It's Mike Angelino! Haven't seen you since we joined up 2 years ago. What a place for a reunion. I got orders to get anyone here back to the Sarge. He wants to break out before we run out of ammo. Where's the rest of your bunch?
They've all gone on ahead. It's just me and you, boy. We're on our own, some mate. On our own, some.
Well, the sooner we get back, the better. Ready?
Well, wait a minute. I think I might be able to slow that rate of fire down.
Don't be stupid, man. You can't do anything on your own. They're at least 400 yards away, and they're behind that bloody wall.
Have faith, Dave. Have faith. Back in a minute.
Get down, you silly sod! They can see you!
That's the idea.
Christ, Mike. How did you conjure that up?
Never mind that now. Let's just say someone over there owes me a favour. Now, get your arse into gear and we'll get out of here. Right, you go first. I'm right behind you. Go, go, go on.
You two are lucky. That's the first time they've stopped firing for about an hour. Where's everyone else?
Well, there isn't anyone else. It's just me and my buddy here.
Well, I don't know about your buddy, but let's take advantage of prayer time and get out of here while they're making up with Allah.
You know, Mike, we always reckoned there was something weird about you being there that day. We hadn't met up for, what, 3 years or so? We're in the middle of a huge firefight which stops as soon as you stand up and the call to prayer cranks up. How did you do it?
Trade secret, Dave. Trade secret. What's the time, anyway?
About 10 to.
They're certainly taking their time today. Must be a bit of an overload next door.
Well, if anyone should know, you should.
Well, not really. They don't keep visitors in the loop.
You're hardly a visitor, are you?
Oh, they think I am.
Remember Sarah?
Yes, I remember Sarah.
We got married, you know.
Yes. I was in that church same day, only earlier. Had to attend a funeral of one of my clients. Saw your name up on the list of services for the day, so I hung around to see you do the deed.
You were there? Why didn't you come over and say something? We would have been chuffed to see you.
Not Sarah. She wouldn't have liked it one bit.
No, suppose not. Always had a sixth sense, did Sarah. And I guess she would have sussed you out right away.
That's right. She wanted to take care of you, and she wouldn't have wanted me around. Exclusive rights, that's what she wanted. We get it all the time in my business. She wanted to be your little angel, and I wasn't going to spoil her day in the sun.
It was raining, actually.
Well, you know what I mean. Mind you, she did get in touch with me a few years later. Well, she didn't actually know it was me, but I made sure her call was routed to my office.
Your office? What line of business were you in that she needed to call you?
I get in all kinds of business, as required. At the time she called, she said she needed a solicitor.
Are we talking about the time when...
Yep. About the time she was going to leave you for a new life.
How did you know about that?
Said she wanted to leave you and start divorce proceedings.
I said, how did you know?
Well, considering where we are now, I'm surprised you ask. Anyway, she went through the usual itemised list of complaints. Fed up, wanted her own space, make a new life, yada, yada, yada. I told her that I knew you and couldn't act for her, but would give her some advice, off the record, like.
So what did you tell her to make her change her mind?
I just went over all the good times you had had together. Days in the sun, how the kids would go off the rails if she left. I drew her a picture of a bleak future, not the rosy one she had in mind.
Well, it did the trick, because she pulled back from the brink. We dug in and eventually went on as though nothing ever happened. Didn't know that you had a hand in it, though.
No? Well, we don't always work on a face-to-face basis. Sometimes we work from behind the scenes. Pull the old invisibility act. Bit naff, but effective just the same.
Well, what about her, minder? Didn't she object to you interfering with her, how do you phrase it, client? I mean, how does it work? You're supposed to look after me and she's got a minder of her own.
Well, when there's a conflict of interest, we refer it to head office and they make the decision on which one should butt out. They've got more of an overall view than we have.
Is it my imagination or is it getting darker?
It's your imagination, mate. Still sunny outside.
Yeah, but it's definitely getting darker in here. Weird, that. Hello? Something's happening. That's even more weird. Doors opening and closing by themselves.
It usually means they're nearly ready for you.
Well, why don't they stick their head round the door and say so?
Protocol. They stay on their side of the door, and you stay on your side of the door.
Well, how the hell do I know when they want to see me?
Well, that's my job. When they tell me, I tell you, and off we go.
Oh. You know, the more I think of it, the more I realise how much effort you must have put in on my behalf.
Oh, I don't know. No more than for anyone else. You're all pretty much alike when it comes down to it. Day to day life goes on. No one really sees the big picture until days like today. Then it comes back, like an old film. Grainy and a bit scratched, but it's all there, somewhere, in black and white.
Black and white. Yeah, that's a good way of describing it, really. But who writes the plot? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, it's more of a real-time documentary, really. Sort of candy camera filming. No one knows what's going to happen on the day. The crew upstairs sets up situations, then stand back and see how you handle them. We get some surprising results as well, I can tell you. Cowards become heroes, heroes become cowards. Devils and priests change places. Black becomes white. It all kicks off when filming starts. Even we never know the outcome until the scene ends, and sometimes not even then.
Is it the same all over the world? I mean, there are all sorts of people. All sorts. Look at these bloody idiots who blow themselves up just to take a few more with them. I bet their minders gave up on them a long time ago. That's if them Muslims have any minders.
That's a bit unfair, Dave. Yes, there are all sorts who get into the killing business, always have done. And they've got a long way back if they're ever going to turn themselves around. But it does happen sometimes. I mean, look at the old IRA. They weren't averse to chucking a bomb or two into the odd dustbin. But now butter wouldn't melt in their mouths.
That's what they say. But once a bad un, always a bad un. That's what I say.
You wouldn't be much good in my job, Dave. I doubt if you'd last a week before you handed your notice in. No, you've got to treat everybody the same until the final whistle blows. Only then do you have a result.
What about these Muslims anyway? Do they have minders like you? Or is it only us lot that get looked after?
Well, they're in a different branch, same company, but different managers. In fact, their minders are better off than us because they have a sort of work-sharing scheme. Where we've got to do it all, they get three miners each. Two Kiraman Katabins and a Machabat.
Sounds a mouthful. What do they do when they're at home then?
Well, the Kiraman Katabins are honourable recorders.
Why two?
Don't know. It was set up by head office. One writes down the good deeds, the other the bad stuff.
Good God. Talk about jobs for the boys. What's the third one do?
Machaba? His job is more like mine. He's a sort of protector, keeping his people out of trouble, or as much as possible, till it's time for them to check in here.
Seems like a waste of time to me, having so many different departments with different ways of doing things.
Well, we have tried to change things over time, but you lot are very set in your ways. More than once, we've had to step in and separate you when things turn nasty. Any hint of rationalisation or merger, and it's like red rag to a bull.
This McAckieback, was he there when we had that firefight way back when?
Yeah. He had one of his assignments ready to change his ways and get back to a more peaceful way of life.
So why did he owe you a favour?
Well, one of your oppos had this conversion prospect lined up in his sights and was just about to take a pop at him, so I had to give your mate a little nudge to put him off. Machaban knew that, so when we were pinned down, he returned the favour by switching on the call to prayer.
I often wondered how you did that.
Well, now you know.
Memories, eh? Memories. Let's have another one, mate. Double, I reckon, should do it. just to top up what's already there. Thanks, mate. Bloody place is nearly empty. Used to be packed in the old days. Can't even have a smoke now. Can't do this, can't do that. Bloody rubbish, really.
Say, it's the first signs, you know. Talking to yourself.
Hello, Mike. Haven't seen you in yonks. What are you doing in here? Thought you'd moved up north or something.
What brings you back to this neck of the woods?
Just passing through. Thought I'd call in on the old place and see if you were still around, you know.
How long are you down for?
Oh, just tonight. I'm on the road at the moment. Came down from Gateshead on my way to Rome for a conference. I'm not stopping over, just called in to see what you're up to.
Gateshead? Ain't that where that statue is? Angel of the North or something?
Not again. Don't know why they all think we've got arms like corrugated iron runways. Yeah, that's it. Took me about 5 hours to drive down, and I've got another couple of hours to Portsmouth.
Good for you, mate.
Got a few other things to do on the way, but that's my final destination on this trip. You seem as though you've had a good evening, looking at the glasses you've got stacked up around you.
Good old Mike. Same old, same old. Always telling me what's right and what's wrong. What's up with you, mate? Don't you ever get a drink in you?
No, because I might end up like you if I did.
What's that supposed to mean?
Hang on, Dave, I just got through the door.
I don't give a toss. You might have just got in, but I've been here since 6. And I've got enough in me not to have to listen to bullshit.
You can never hold your drink, Dave.
There you go again. Don't do this. Don't do that. Mind your own frigging business.
You have got it in you. Maybe I should go out and come in again. What's the problem?
Where do you want to start? Family are giving me grief. No job for 18 months. And debts knocking at the door.
Got enough for booze, though, eh?
Well, I'm doing a few odds and sods. Mostly plastering, but even there I'm getting screwed with people not paying me.
Well, it's tough, but in the big scheme of things, you've been in tougher spots.
Don't go back over that, Mike. That was years ago, and a lot of water has flowed under the bridge since then.
Not just water, either. I did hear you hitting the booze pretty often.
F*** off, Mike. If that's all you've got to say, f*** off.
I'm going, mate, don't worry. But if you take my advice, you'll throw your keys behind the bar and get a taxi home.
F*** off. Just f*** off. I'm sorry I sounded after you that night, Sloane's. But I'd had a skinful and I was up to hear of it all.
I know. Don't worry about it. There's water under the bridge now.
Or booze. Wished I'd taken your advice, though.
Never mind. Too late to do anything about it now.
You comfortable, mate? Do you want your pillow plumped up a bit or anything?
No, I'm fine. I'll just be glad to get out of here now.
Well, not much longer now. Just hang a bit and we'll soon be sorted.
Do you come with me or do I have to do it on my own?
No. I'll be there and I'll pass your notes over to them.
What notes?
All the notes I made as we went along, you know. Good times, bad times, and the in-between times.
Didn't know you were paying that much attention.
Well, until today, you didn't know who I really was, did you?
Can I have a look at my notes?
If you like, yeah.
What's this? It's an electronic notebook. What happened to the big brass-bound book with the red and black ledgers? Can't believe you've given me an iPad to scroll through.
We move with the times. Different folks, different strokes. A couple of centuries ago, you'd have had the old illuminated manuscripts. But all that's changed for you lot. Anyway, it makes it easier for you to search. Rather than ploughing through reams and reams of yearly diaries, the only thing you can't do is erase any of the entries. Only I can do that.
Is this what you hand over later?
Yep. It's plugged straight into the mainframe and uploaded. Or downloaded, depending on the contents.
Let's have a look then. I don't remember half of this.
That's what they all say.
Let's type your name in. Mikeanglino. Bloody hell, you have been busy on my behalf.
That's my job, Dave. That's my job.
I know, but look at some of these entries. Stopped him buying Lehman shares 2 days before the crash of 2008. Yeah, I remember that. You rang me up and Holt told me not to bother. They were going down. Some of this stuff goes way back. Entry dated 9th September 2001. Put off his trip to the Twin Towers. Yep, that too I remember. We were due to do the tourist visit to the top of the view, but couldn't get a cab organised, so we went shopping instead that day. There was loads of it here. What's these scores on the spreadsheet mean?
Ah, well, that's your running total. The higher the score, the better your chances.
Well, with you as my mate, I can't go wrong, can I? I mean, after all these years and all the scrapes you've got me out of, I'm sure you'll put in a good word with your man.
Sorry, mate. I can rub out a few of the minor ones, but some are outside my remit.
What do you mean?
Well, the hit and run was a bit big for me to handle.
Look, Mike, that was years ago, and you know it's been on my conscience ever since. I did all that charity work, children's hospitals, help for hero stuff, even marathons to raise money for the greater good. Surely all that wipes the slate clean. You said yourself you've got the power to erase entries. We've been together a lifetime. Surely you can make this one last effort on my behalf.
Look, Dave, you killed the guy and put his wife in a wheelchair for life. That's a big score in the red, Dave, and they ain't going to be too pleased about it. Sorry, mate, no can do. Crime means time when you get to this stage of life. That's it. They're ready for us now. Right, let's go, Dave.
Just one more look out of the window, Mike.
Sorry, Dave. We've got to go. I don't want to have to strong-arm you, not after all this time together. Come on. Face up, man.
Okay. Anyway, we tried everything to make amends. As well you know.
No pulse. No vital signs. That's it, I'm afraid. Nurse, I'll sign the paperwork if you could arrange his move down to the morgue, pending funeral arrangements. Are there any living relatives?
None that I know of, Doctor. He used to live near me. I know he's been married, twice I think, but both are dead and there's no other relatives that I know of. Funny, actually, I was on duty when his second wife died. Same room as well. I'll just disconnect some of these leads. She needed a lot more nursing care, being paralysed. Apparently her first husband was killed in a car crash. Some hit-and-run maniac who put her in a wheelchair before she met up and married Mr. Parry here.
Well, this guy.
Yeah, the same. He specifically asked for this room. Said he would get comfort from it, knowing his wife had been here. He couldn't do enough for her while she was alive. Inseparable, they seemed.
Well, if there is an afterlife, that should get him some brownie points. Did he have any visitors at all?
Some guy called Mike something or other was here a couple of days ago. Said he was his caseworker, but Mr. Parry was out of it by then, so I don't think he got through to him.
Did he leave any contact details?
No, he didn't stay long anyway. Said he had to get down to the maternity ward to sort out a new case.
One in, one out. Must be like a production line for some of those social workers. Anyway, nurse, time to pack Mr. Parry off. If you could sort out the details, I'll catch up with you later.
I tell you what, don't you think it's got cold in here? I'm freezing. I think I'll come with you and get the heating sorted before I do any more.
That's it, mate. Time to go. Do you need a hand?
No. You've done your bit. I'll be fine. Let's go through.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend.
The Waiting Room was written by Terry Meekin. It was performed by John Broadbent, Chris Jennings, John Bassett, Swithin Fry, and Claire Jackson. It was directed by John Bassett and produced by Laura Manley.